Good evening, everyone. It's great to be back with you. We've had a great few weeks. We had a couple of weeks of holidays, and then we had Mille Camp, which was just super. We just felt privileged to be there and spend time with all the kids there this week. This evening, we're going to begin a new series, which will last about 12 weeks. We'll give our take on that. I'm going to go through the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you have a Bible, please turn there for me now. So Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And this evening we'll look at chapter 1 and the first 11 verses. So let's read together. This is God's word. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you again for the privilege of meeting around your word. And we thank you for the incarnate living word that is Christ that we've just been singing about. And as we come now, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask that we would see in a greater way the worth of knowing Christ, the life that we have in him, and to know to a fuller extent, as Johnny has already prayed this evening, that in him is everything and outside of him is nothing but vanity. So, Father, will you speak to us this evening? We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Ecclesiastes is a book that perhaps you don't often visit. It's a book about making sense of life. It comes under what we know as the wisdom literature in the Bible, along with Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and Song of Songs. And these books really do what they say. They give us wisdom for living everyday life. Ecclesiastes is different in its approach. The others take a very directive approach. That is, they clearly state the best way to live is God's way. I mean, Proverbs, for example, highlights right from the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and understanding. It clearly outlines that to make sense of this life, you need to follow God and his ways. Well, Ecclesiastes does get there, but very subtly throughout, and we don't get this directive wisdom from God until the final chapter. Some believe the writer to be King Solomon from chapter 1, verse 1, which we read there. Others believe it not to be him from chapter 1, 16. If not Solomon, we can certainly take it to be someone like Solomon, someone who stood out as having great wisdom and experience, a Solomon-like figure. The writer refers to himself as the preacher in chapter 1:12, and that is how we will refer to him for this study. As I said, the purpose of this preacher is making sense of life. And he does this by asking a question, which we read. He says, what does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? This phrase we see appearing 30 times in the book. And what he does by thinking of life under the sun, he builds this picture. He tries to make sense of life from a purely human perspective. Under the sun. He looks at life, he studies life, and makes observations from a human perspective without bringing God into the equation. And his question is then, well, if this is life, if all there is kind of within this box, well then what do we gain from this? What have we got to show for this? Or what is our profit? What do we have left over from all our work that has made it all worthwhile? Or what do we pass on? How have we left our mark on the world in which we live? And the implied answer to his question, what does man gain by all the toil under the sun, is nothing. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. This word appears repeatedly throughout. It can be translated breath or wind, something that is here and then is gone. There's not a lot of point to it. It's futile. There's no purpose. It's empty. The NIV translates meaningless. Meaningless. Everything is utterly meaningless. If we look at the world within this box from human perspective and even put all the wisdom of Solomon in there to try to figure it out, but your answer will be the same. Meaningless. You won't get a satisfactory answer. All is vanity. And let's think about this. Why would he say this? Firstly, because life is brief. We see that in verse 4. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Life is a breath. Here today, gone tomorrow. People come and go on this earth, while the earth remains as it is. We read in Psalm 39, 5 and 6, behold, ye have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing, same word as vanity, they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And verse 11, surely all mankind is a mere breath. And again, in the Psalm 144, we read, man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. One thing most people will agree on, regardless of their worldview, is that life is brief. Can't believe and coming this age. I can't believe I've been in this job for this amount of years. Can't believe my kids are starting school. Can't believe my kids are leaving school. Can't believe I'm retiring. Seems like no time since whatever. Till I can't believe she's gone. I can't believe he's gone. It just seemed like yesterday they were doing this, that, and the other thing. Life comes, life goes. Do you know there are four people born every second, and two people die every second? One, two, three, four. Another 16 people beginning life on this planet Earth. One, two, three, four, 8 people have gone. People come, and before you know it, people go. All sorts of reasons and scenarios. Say a baby is born, say it hasn't developed properly, perhaps lives just a number of hours, and then goes. Our child perhaps goes to school on his bike, waves bye to mum, an accident happens and he's gone. A couple go off on holidays and the husband one night suddenly dies of a heart attack. Our lady in her early 80s gets illness and dies. People come. They're here for a brief time, and they go. We talk about 3 score years and 10. Anything before that seems so premature. My mum is reaching her 3 score years next January. If she knew I told you that, she'd be raging. But however, but I don't feel that when she gets there, I don't feel when January comes that I'll think, well, she's got her 3 score years. She can go now. That's okay. I'm satisfied. She's done her bit. No. If that was the case, it would seem so short, so brief, too soon. I know she would have got more than many, but no, it still seems too short. You see, no matter what age someone dies at, life is brief. People will often say, you know, well, so-and-so, they were taken too soon. Did you ever hear anyone say, so-and-so just got too long? My granny died last November at 93, and by anyone's standards, she did well. She had good health for most of that. Many would say she had a good innings. She got over and above her 3 score years, but yet it seemed brief. Time flies. Many will say life goes quicker as you get older. Of course, it doesn't actually, but life is brief, and perhaps as we're older, we become more and more aware of just how brief life is. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. We can't deny the facts. We live in a world where we will soon be dead. Well, we say, well, if life is so brief, well, then let's make the most of it while we're here. But life is also monotonous, verses 5 and 6. We read, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens or returns to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind. And on its circuits, the wind returns. The sun does the same thing every day. Of course, there's some science, perhaps, as to why or how it does it, but it comes up and it goes down. It rises and it sets. And as for the wind, again, there may be science behind it, but around and around goes the wind. It goes one place, then another, and returns. As the sun rises and sets, so the wind comes and goes. Life comes and goes, it rises and sets. Life is a bit like a merry-go-round. It just goes around and around and around. Same old monotony, day in, day out. We get up, we brush our teeth, we shower, we have breakfast. Perhaps we brush our teeth after breakfast, but that's about as much variety as we get in the mornings, apart from deciding whether to have toast or cereal. Then we go to work, we come home, we eat dinner, perhaps we watch TV or another activity, and we go to bed and lie basically unconscious for about 6 to 8 hours, depending on how long you sleep for. And then do you know what we do the next day? We get up, we brush our teeth, we shower, we have breakfast, we go to work, we come home, we eat dinner, we watch TV, and we go to bed. Do you know, many of us dread being older for the fear of this monotony. You may even look at older relatives, perhaps even some who are housebound, and think, how do they do that? What is their pattern? Well, they get up, they get washed, they get breakfast, they sit, perhaps read or watch TV, and they go to bed. I mean, is the midsection of our day really much different? Many of us sit at a screen or read, perhaps we see more people, but the basic structure and pattern of our day is no different. Well, okay, life is brief, and yeah, life is monotonous, but at least we can find some satisfaction in our life and work as we go. But life does not satisfy, verses 7 and 8. We read, all streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The same streams keep flowing into the sea day after day. There's something like 3 trillion tons of water that go into the sea every day, and then it's evaporated and comes back as rain. But the point is, the sea never fills up. Just an endless, tedious task that never seems complete. So it's interesting, because often in Scripture we are to look at nature in order to increase our wonder. But here the preacher uses it as a way to show us that our life and work, well, it doesn't really go anywhere. It's just an endless, tedious task with no real feeling of completeness or satisfaction. We work and we work, but we never really feel we get anywhere. We finish one project, we begin another. We punch in and we punch out. One commentator says, there is no reason to assume that individuals should gain from their toil when creation as a whole does not. If creation in all its vastness is caught in a repetitive, monotonous cycle, then why should we, who are a brief speck in this creation, expect any more from life? Life really is like a merry-go-round. We just go around and around and around. I mean, you can put a toddler on a merry-go-round and, well, they'll be pretty content with life. They may even be impressed with the experience. But the older we are, the less content and less impressed we will be with the experience. See, we always want something new, something that will satisfy us and impress us. But verse 9, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. On to verse 10, is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? No, it has already been in the ages before us. Now you may say, but so many things are new. I mean, even look at the past 20 to 30 years. If you look at transport or communication and technology. And the point here is not to deny creativity and the ability to invent that many people have demonstrated. But what they're doing are really just different ways of doing the same things. I mean, men have always been able to travel and communicate and gather information. And more importantly, none of these newer ways of doing the things we have always done will actually break the repetitive cycle that is this life. And no new way of doing the things we have always done will satisfy us. It's wearisome. Okay, well, life is brief. Life is monotonous. Life doesn't satisfy us. Well, at least I'll try and leave my mark before I go. At least, hopefully, my work here will leave an imprint and be remembered. Well, that's wishful thinking. Verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things or people yet to be among those who come after. And you see, we're back full circle. Life is brief and futile. Life is meaningless because ultimately we're going to die and no one is going to remember us. And even for those names in history who are remembered now, well, what good has their work done for them? Because, well, they're gone. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Nothing. Life is brief and monotonous and does not satisfy. The preacher here pushes most people beyond where they will allow their minds to go. I think we often live life denying these facts. We pretend that life is permanent, and we feel if we can just get something, a change that will break the monotony, that will allow us to be satisfied, if we can just get that thing, perhaps it's the job. If we changed our job, we would get the breakthrough that we need. Or, you know, if I can get out of this workplace and into another, I wouldn't want to move again. We can change our job. We can change our car. We can change our home decor. People even change their spouse in hope of escaping this same repetitive pattern. Do you know what happens if you change your spouse or your job or your car or your decor? You still get up, get breakfast, go to work, eat dinner, perhaps with your new spouse, and go to bed. You may get a little novelty the first day or two, but a couple of times around, and it's monotonous as it ever was. Well, perhaps then you say, I need a complete change. I'm going to emigrate and somewhere sunny. Hate to break it to you. You go somewhere sunny, you're still going to get up, get breakfast, go to work. The laundry basket will still never be empty. Wonder if you ever heard a mum say, I don't go on holiday, I just parent in a different place. You know, you think I'll move away, I'll do everything different. No. It'll still be the same humdrum life. So, are you all depressed? Ready to give up? I'm really tempted to say we'll leave it there and pick it up in 2 weeks. But I'm not going to leave you hanging. What is portrayed here is life without God. And life without God, no matter how much you enjoy it and how much success your work may bring you, ultimately, it's a flash and you will die. And anything you enjoy in this life, be it work or family or anything else, will only ever be enjoyed with a feeling of unrest and longing for something more underneath it all. And if that is the best there is, then I think that is thoroughly depressing. People, as I said, often do not allow themselves to go this far in their thinking. They live in pretense and denial, kidding themselves that a temporary life is permanent and that constant repetitiveness can be broken by constantly changing. So how do we make sense of this all? Well, as Christians, I think the first thing we do is we be realistic. We recognize that life does have a repetitive pattern. Life is hard work, and life is temporary. And we recognize this because we live in a sinful world, and that's what was promised from Genesis 3. None of us can escape this, whether we're believers or not believers. But we know there is more. In Romans 8, we read, "For creation was subjected to futility." It's the same word used in Ecclesiastes 1. "Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth." You see, this earth that we live in, it has much sorrow. It has much uneasiness. Something that we often just can't quite piece together. And it leaves creation itself and it leaves man longing for something more. Something that will make sense of it all and finally satisfy us. Something that will just push us beyond utter futility. There is good news. This futility has been broken at the cross of Christ. He took the curse of this way of life. And when Christ was raised from the dead, there was something new under the sun. He was the firstborn. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation and born into what will be a new created world. All things are reconciled in Christ. God is making everything right again. He is bringing an end to this bruised and fractured and meaningless life and world. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. So yes, it is possible to make sense of this life, but only by looking to Jesus Christ, who is life. So let's ask this question again, this time through the lens of Christ. What do we gain by all the toil under the sun? That is, what do we gain by keeping going through this life? We gain life that is permanent and life that is constant rest, peace, completeness, satisfaction when Christ returns and completes his new creation. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to thank you for such a great hope that we have in Christ, our Redeemer. Father, we know the realities of living in this sinful world because of the fall, because of the sin of man. But we praise you that we know redemption in Jesus Christ. We thank you that all things are being made new. And we thank you that in Christ alone can we know peace, joy, satisfaction, completeness. And in him alone can we make sense of this life. So, Father, we ask that again you draw our hearts to Christ. That, Father, every day that we live, we will look to who he is and view everything in this life through him. Father, help us to know the worth of Christ. Increase our desire for him. We ask in his name. Amen.